Hello, hello. You have arrived at the place where potential meets purpose and ordinary transform into extraordinary. This is your invitation to a journey of radical self-discovery and unapologetic empowerment where you'll tap into the transformative power of owning your greatness. It is time to align with the God-given power and gifts that are yours. Unleash what's been buried in your soul and master the art of co-creating a life with God that lights you up. You're about to become the architect of your own story. Expect inspiration, no bullshit strategies, and an occasional kick in the ass that you need to step towards your dreams. You're exactly where you need to be. Strap in because we are going to unleash your inner badass. Okay. You can support the mission at listenbitchdonations.com. And if you're ready to change your life, check the show notes and choose your weapon. Okay. That's coaching, books, biohacks. Stop waiting. Start moving. This is Listen Bitch with your favorite host, Brandon Lynette. I appreciate you guys so much. I just definitely absolutely need to say that today. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the podcast ideas. I got a total of three text messages. I did a live on Facebook last week and dropped a text line where you guys can ask questions, engage, interact real time as you're listening. Let me know what you think or what comes up or agree to disagree or disagree entirely. I love it. Share your personal experience. But definitely spam me with these topics. It makes life so much easier for me because my brain is constantly on, it's on the go all day long. I know you know what that means. And so it definitely just takes a weight off, honestly. Today's episode, you guys, the grief of lowered expectations when reality replaces fantasy in your relationships. Okay. I'm just gonna fill you in on this topic because it's kind of a you're getting a two for one from a guest request and then a personal experience. You guys, I went through, I guess I'm currently in it still, but like a hellacious detox, okay? Just a detox with my hormones. My cellular activity is different. I've finally got some movement in my cells that I haven't had. My cells have been hard for a very long time. So things are starting to shift. And I started a new regimen just to kind of balance my hormones. I've always been estrogen led, just a lot of stuff. Okay. Some shit's going on. I had terrible timing with my period that I had no idea about because it's like nobody ever gives you full disclosure on shit. You got to research, research, research. I didn't do that. So anyway, I'm going through this hellacious detox and I didn't have food for like 42 hours on top of this detox. Like it, my body just like freaked out. I can't even explain it. And when you go through a detox, it's not just like the physical stuff. It wasn't just the fact I've been buried under a headache for 4 days. Mentally and emotionally, you start to detox as well. And so I just want to explain something to you that it's taken me a very long time to get this, okay? But once you get this, once you can understand this, everything in your life is going to change. You know, like my whole life, I've been out here getting my feelings hurt over and over and over again by ideally the same people, you know? And I think to myself, like, why do they keep doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? Why is this always what's going on? But here's what I had to face. No one was doing anything to me. No one's ever done anything to me. It's just that people were being exactly who they've always been. I am the one that's been holding on to a fantasy version of people that doesn't exist. And this is what happens. We create these stories in our heads about people and who they should be. Like your mom should be supportive. Your friend should show up for you the way you show up for them. Your husband should understand you without you having to explain or ask for mundane bullshit all the time. But here's the thing, Proverbs 13, 12. I just finished Proverbs. It's a great book, you guys. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So you know what's been making your heart sick? It's not the people. It's not the people that are hurting you. It's the hope that you keep placing in people that haven't earned it. And God never called us to be naive. Jesus himself said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wisdom means seeing people clearly. It means recognizing patterns. It means understanding that when someone shows you who they are repeatedly, believing them, it's not giving up on them. It's honoring the truth. And when you can deal in truth, nothing can shake you. And I feel like I have this awareness every few years that I just keep trying to see this hope and you know, this idea that people are going to be like me, and it never happens. And it is a hard lesson to keep learning over and over and over. And so here's what you really have to do. And I felt this. You have to grieve. And I mean, like, really grieve. You're not just letting go of a person, you're letting go of who you needed them to be. And I do this over and over, like with people in my life, you know, that fantasy version that I've created, that's me just doing a lot of heavy lifting in my heart, like that fantasy version, like filling gaps, meeting needs, you know, and now I have to accept the real version can't do that, isn't going to do that, won't do that. The grief is real, and you've got to feel that. And you have to shift your expectations from them to truth instead of expecting your emotionally unavailable friend or partner to suddenly become your safe space. You have to accept that she's not capable of that right now, and that's okay. He's not capable of that right now, and that's okay. I will find that support elsewhere. You're not being mean. You're being honest. And honestly, that is love. That's love for them, and that's love for you. And this is going to help you stop taking it personally, because that's the game changer. Their limitations are not about your worth. It has taken me 45 years, and I'm still struggling. Their limitations aren't about your worth. It's not because I'm not enough. It's not because I'm not good. It's not because I'm not doing enough. It's not because I'm the wrong person. It's their limitation. And let's just say your mom's emotional distance isn't because you're unlovable. It's because she's operating from her own wounds. You know, your friend's inability to celebrate you isn't because you're not worth celebrating. It's because they're dealing with their own insecurities. And when you stop making their behavior about you, your feelings stop getting hurt. When you finally see people for who they are, not who you hope they'd be, you get to make those informed decisions. You stop giving that VIP access to people who've proven that they're general admission. You stop explaining yourself to people who they've shown they don't want to understand. If someone doesn't want to understand you and doesn't want to do what you've asked for decades and years and all of these things, if they're not doing that, stop investing emotional currency in banks that don't give returns. And this is the thing. I've always turned bitter and I've always turned super cold. That's what I felt like. I just thought, you know, I just shut down, right? But the truth is, you're not bitter. You're not cold. You're not jaded. You're just clear. Like, you can love people for where they are, from a distance, even, and you can still be kind and you can still pray for them. But all of a sudden, you're no longer waiting for them to become someone they're not, so you can finally feel whole. And this is what God's been trying to show me all along, is that he is the only one who's supposed to carry that weight. He's the only one that is never going to disappoint you. He's the only one whose place in your life is secure because he's already proven who he is. Everyone else is human, beautifully, messy, imperfectly human. When you accept people as they are, you stop being hurt by who they aren't. And that, honestly, is where peace lives. So stop taking things so personal. Start paying attention. And when you finally see your place in people's lives for what it is, not what you hoped it would be, your feelings will stop getting hurt. Not because you stopped caring, but because you finally start seeing clearly. These fantasy versions that we create when who we need them to be is blinding us from who they actually are. They say love is blind, right? They say that all the time. Another thing that I've had to learn the hard way, you know, spending all of this time, my whole life interacting with figments of my own imagination. Like, I wasn't having relationships with real people. I was having relationships with the versions of them I created in my mind. And every single time reality showed up, devastated, confused, and hurt. And my question to God every single time is, why do you keep letting them disappoint me? Like, why am I still in this position? And it's because I keep fucking with those figments of my imagination. I keep putting a puzzle piece in a place that doesn't even fit in the same puzzle box. You know what God says back to me? Very clear, very clear. I'm not letting anyone disappoint you. You're disappointing yourself by refusing to see what I've already shown you. Like, he's shown you. He's shown us. People show you who they are. We're creating these fantasies because we need something. You don't fantasize about a person being different if they're already meeting your needs. That's it. If your needs are met, there is nothing to imagine. And the fantasy kicks in when there's a gap, when there's a wound, when there's a need that's going unmet. Maybe your dad wasn't present, so you create a fantasy version of him that's going to show up to be proud of you, to protect you. Your friend keeps flaking, so you create a fantasy version who's loyal, who keeps their word, who's ride or die. Maybe your husband is emotionally distant, so you create a fantasy, version of someone who's vulnerable, who pursues you, who gives a shit about what you're asking for, who makes you feel chosen, who makes you feel seen. Here's what's really happening. You're not seeing them. You're protecting your needs. You're projecting. And then you're mad and you're hurt when they don't fulfill a role that they're not even playing. Maybe you have a parent who's super critical, and every time you talk to her, she's got something negative to say about your choices, your life, your relationships. But in your head, you've got this fantasy mama. Fantasy mom is so warm, so affirming, and so proud. I've done this. So every time you call real mama, you're subconsciously expecting fantasy mom to answer the phone. A real mom is going to break you down real fast. You're going to think she's going to say, "Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing." But really, she's going to say, "That sounds like a terrible idea. This is awful. Why would you think this will work out?" But like you wanted to hear it through that filter of the fantasy, the one that's supposed to build you up, to celebrate, to see you. Because that's who you are, right? You build people up, you celebrate them, you see them. You're not just hurt by the comments. Like, it's devastating because fantasy mama would never be so critical. And then you're experiencing double pain, like the pain of the actual criticism and the pain of fantasy mom dying again. And she will die every single time because she doesn't exist. Same thing with fantasy friends and fantasy spouses. And you're going to keep going through the cycle of grief, and you're going to keep freaking out every single time, creating this image in your head of what it is, ignoring reality. And we do this because facing reality, it honestly feels like giving up. Like, I start to feel like maybe I'm being negative, maybe I'm not bringing faith to the table, maybe I'm just bitter. I work to see the best in people. I've always done that. I've worked to believe in their potential. I've worked to love them through where they are. And babe, there is a place for grace, but there's also a place for truth. Truth, not fantasy, not potential, not who they're going to be 5 years from now when they get therapy. Fantasy is costing you your peace because you're in a constant state of disappointment. And I felt that through this detox. I felt this tremendous stress, the discernment, like you can't make wise decisions about who to trust or who to invest in or who to keep close or, who to reach out to. You keep giving chances to real people based on the potential of the fantasy version. So, like, your boundaries are broken because you're just draining yourself trying to love someone into that fantasy version. And they're just being exactly who they are, who they've always been. And you're wasting your time because you're waiting. You're waiting for change. You're waiting for them to see you. You're waiting for them to realize that, you're there. You're waiting for them to become the person that you need. And all this time, life is passing you by. You have to acknowledge the gap. There is a possibility of breaking free from this. You have to get honest about what you need that this person isn't providing. What do you need it takes naming it. Once you name it, you can stop expecting them to fill it. What is it that you need right now? Do you need validation? Do you need security? Do you need consistency? Do you need celebration? What do you need? And look at the pattern, not the potential. Stop looking at who they could be. Look at who they have been. When people show you who they are, believe them. And I know if you're like me, it took us like 50, 11 times, okay? Because we're stubborn as fuck and we're hyper independent. God has shown us, like, that pattern is the prophecy. If they flake 10 times, the pattern says they're a flaker. Stop auditioning them for the role of reliable friend when they've shown you they're not even a supportive actor. And grieve the fantasy. I'm going to repeat this over and over. It's crucial. You have to mourn the loss of who you needed them to be. Cry about it, journal about it, talk to God about it. Because that fantasy version, she mattered and she was protecting you. She was giving you hope. Letting her go is hard, but she's got to die so you can see clearly and accept the real person in front of you. Not with bitterness, not with resentment, but with clarity. Like, this is who you are. You are not a safe person for deep conversations. You are not going to be someone I can count on to be seen. You are never going to be emotionally available. Time with me is never going to be a priority. You're never going to be able to hold me in a space where I feel all of the things that I want to feel. Who doesn't want to feel cherished and adored and supported and safe and wanted? And this doesn't make them a bad person. It just makes them not your person for certain things. So you have to adjust your expectations and your engagement. Like, once you see clearly, you get to decide what kind of relationship you're actually having. Like, you can love real mama from a distance, and I love my mom from a distance. I will never seek affirmation from her. You can enjoy real friend at surface level hangouts, but just stop trusting them with your heart. Start appreciating your spouse for what they do bring and stop noticing everything they don't. And honestly, it is up to you to decide, is the gap too big in these relationships? You get to decide that, and you can walk away, and that's okay too. Bring God into that equation 100%. It doesn't matter at the end of the day what happens in my relationships because I know the truth. I'm always going to be okay. I will always be okay no matter what other people choose or what they don't. I've spent my entire life not being someone's choice. I've survived that. So I'm kind of unstoppable. Like, I'm always going to be okay. But this fantasy is a cage and it's going to keep you stuck in relationships that aren't serving you. It keeps you hurting over people who aren't even aware. They don't even give a shit. These are people that are going to disrespect you to your face, no matter how many times you said, please don't say this like that. Like, reword this. It's going to be said that way right in front of your face because there is no respect, there is no awareness. They're not present because you're not a fucking priority. You're mad at a version of them that has only existed in your head. That heartbreak, self-inflicted. Has anyone ever really hurt me? Yeah, me. Jesus knew this. He did not entrust himself to people because he knew what was in a man. He loved people, he served people, he died for people, but he was not getting his feelings hurt because he saw them clearly. You can love people and see them clearly. You can have grace for people and build a life and have boundaries. You can hope for people's growth and not sit around waiting for it to interact with them. Your feelings will stop getting hurt because you stop expecting things that, from people that they've never promised and they've never delivered. You stop being shocked when they do what they've always done. You stop personalizing their limitations because you finally understand this isn't about me. This is about who this person is right now. In that clarity, you find freedom. Freedom to love without expectations. Freedom to engage without resentment. Freedom to protect your peace without guilt. So let me ask you, bitch, okay? Who are you still interacting with through the lens of fantasy? Like, who have you been mad at for not being someone they never claimed to be? And what would happen if you finally let that fantasy version go and dealt with the real person standing in front of you? It's time to see clearly. Because your peace is on the other side of that truth. We keep personalizing other people's limitations when we are making their inability about our worth. Every time someone couldn't show up for me, I made it mean something about me. Every single time. Friend couldn't celebrate my wins, I told myself I wasn't worthy of celebration. Husband couldn't communicate, I told myself I wasn't worth the effort. When my parent couldn't give me affection, I told myself I was unlovable. Out here collecting evidence for a case against myself, using other people's limitations as proof. And let me tell you, that is a special kind of prison because you're not just dealing with their inadequacy. You're dealing with the story you created about what their inadequacy says about you. Complex on complex on complex. And we do this because we learned early that love is conditional. We learned early that love is earned. Most of us grew up in environments where love felt like something you had to qualify for. Like you had to be good enough, quiet enough, smart enough, accomplished enough, obedient enough. So we learned that when people don't give us what we need, it's because we haven't earned it yet. Girl, what'd I do to earn it? What a fucking dumbass. But that's the root. We personalize other people's limitations because we've been conditioned to believe that if we were just better, they would love us right. Your mom can't be emotionally available. Must be because you're too needy, Brandon. Your friend can't be happy for you. Must be because you're too much, Brandon. Your partner can't make you a priority. Must be because you're not good enough, Brandon. And here's what God tells me. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. If God's love isn't earned, why are we trying to earn human love? If the literal creator of the universe gives you grace freely, why are we measuring our worth by broken people's capacity? You know, I'm going to answer that question, right? Because it gives us a false sense of control. We're fucking control freaks. And this is what nobody talks about, personalizing other people's limitations. It feels safer than accepting the truth because if it's about you, then you can fix it. If you're the problem, you can become the solution. Everywhere I go, there I am. If your dad left because you weren't good enough, then maybe if you become successful enough, impressive enough, perfect enough, he'll come back. You've got control. But if your dad left because he was broken, dealing with his own trauma, incapable of being present because of his wounds, you've got no control. You can't fix him. You can't love him into wholeness, and you can't achieve your way into his affection. And that is terrifying. That is the same for your mom, and it's the same for your spouse. And we personalize because blame towards ourselves feels more manageable than powerlessness. Like, if it's our fault, we can do something about it. But honestly, if God could be for us, who could be against us? God says you're worthy. Who are you to say you're not based on someone else's incapacity? We don't understand that people can only give what they have. And we expect people to pour from empty cups because that's what our dumbasses have been doing. We expect people to give us something they know nothing about. We expect emotional, immature people to show up with emotional intelligence. We expect wounded people to love us from a healed place. And when they can't, we take it personal. A tree that doesn't have apples can't give you apples. You can stand there all day saying, "But I need apples. I deserve apples. I just want apples. If I was a better person, this tree would grow apples for me." But it's a pine tree, bitch. You're never getting apples. And it's not because you're not worthy of apples, but because pine trees don't grow apples. That dumbass that doesn't see you is a pine tree. He can't give you shit. Your emotionally unavailable parent can't give you emotional availability, not because you're not worthy of it, but because they don't have it to give. They're operating from their own lack, their own wounds, their own limitations. I had a friend who never checked on me. I'd be going through hard times. I could say something about a struggle, crickets. But the moment that something is needed from me, there I am showing up, showing out, being everything that she needed. I personalized that. I must not matter. I must not be as good of a friend as I think I am. Maybe I'm too needy. Maybe I expect too much. Maybe I'm not worth checking on. Some people are just so consumed with their own stuff, their own survival, their own needs. They cannot see beyond themselves. It's not about you, it is their limitations. But when you personalize it, you stay in relationships, in friendships longer than you should. You keep trying to earn the care. You keep trying to earn a better friend to prove you're worth checking on. It's exhausting. It's going to keep you stuck in toxic relationships. When you personalize someone's inability to love you, you stay thinking, if I just get better, if I just get better, they'll get better. You tolerate, you shrink, you perform, and you never leap because the problem is you. It's you. And it destroys your self-worth. Every time you make their limitation about your worth, you're chipping away at your foundation, at your core ethics, values. You start believing the lie that you're too much or not enough, and you start people-pleasing. You start performing, you start proving, and you lose yourself trying to be worthy of people who will never fucking see you. It's been 20 years, bitch. If he hasn't seen you, he's never gonna see you. And now you're blocked from ever receiving that real love. When you're convinced you're unworthy based on broken people's treatment, you cannot receive love from healthy people. There are people that are showing up consistently in your life, and then you get suspicious. Like, you're suspicious because it doesn't make sense. Someone celebrates you genuinely and you're waiting for the other shoe to drop because you're so used to earning love that you don't know how to receive it. I struggle with compliments. They make me so uncomfortable. It is awkward. It is awkward. You just don't trust anything and you're missing the blessings. I miss a chance at the real human experience because I've locked myself in this hyper-independent toxic streak of fantasy. You have to separate people's behavior from your identity. When someone can't show up for you, stop and ask, is this about me or is this about them? When your mom criticizes everything you do, is that because you're doing everything wrong or because she's operating from a critical spirit that she applies to everyone, including herself? And what has she done with her life to criticize what you do? Your spouse doesn't open up emotionally. Is that because you're not safe or is it because he struggles with vulnerability? It's a weakness. He's terrified of being seen. Start separating their actions from your worth. You have to understand their behavior is their data, their compiled data. It is not a verdict about you. And recognize the pattern. Look at how they treat other people. How do they treat other people? This is a big tell. If your friend can't celebrate you, can she celebrate anyone? If your partner can't commit to you, has he committed to anyone? If your parents are cold with you, are they warm with your siblings? And you'll find the pattern. And it's very simple because it's one of two things. Like, they're not withholding from you, they're withholding from everyone. And if they're not, you were never part of the equation to begin with. And that's the same for friends, parents, a relationship. Understand their story without excusing their impact too. You know, you can have compassion for why someone is limited without accepting their limitations as your reality. Like, maybe your dad is emotionally distant because his dad was emotionally distant. Okay, cool. That explains it. That gives context, but it doesn't mean that you have to keep seeking emotional connection from him. You can understand his story and still protect yourself from his limitations. And compassion does not mean compliance. Grace doesn't mean giving unlimited access. You can love people and recognize they're not capable of loving you the way you need. And that's okay. I love so many people that are never going to be capable of loving me the way that I need. And as long as I stay in this space, in this broken place, I'll never see or recognize real love. I will always be weary and think there's an ulterior motive. It'll be super suspicious. Just reframe people's limitations as information, not indictment. When someone is showing you that they can't meet your needs, stop making it mean something about you. Just see it as information, very simple information about what kind of relationship you can actually have with them. They can't be emotionally available. Information. Now you know not to go to them with deep emotional needs. They can't be respectful. Now you know to protect your boundaries in a space of what is appropriate for you. They can't be consistent. You know not to depend on them. They can't celebrate with you. Now you know not to share your wins with people that can't be happy for you. It's not personal, it's practical. You have to build your identity. We may as well just do this together, okay? We have to build our identity on something unchanging. Like, not on people's opinions, people's treatments, people's capacity. Your worth is not up for debate. It's not determined by who can't love you. It's not diminished by who walked away. And it's not increased by who stays. I want to make that very clear. You are worthy because you belong to God. And once you build your identity on that unshakable foundation, other people's limitations stop feeling like verdicts about you. They're just limitations. And I will tell you, this vicious detox has had my nose in the Bible like a crazy person. Like, I feel that emotional awareness and the draw and the calling to go there so I can heal through this once and for all. You know, what happens when we stop personalizing this shit? We're free to love people without needing them to validate us. We're free to walk away from relationships that harm us without feeling like we failed. I've told you guys, no matter what you're doing in a relationship, give 100% forever and let the person do what the person's going to do. The person doesn't get to keep taking you for granted. The person doesn't get to keep ignoring that you're a fucking human. This makes you free to receive love from healthy people without sabotaging it, free to set boundaries without guilt. Stop contorting yourself to fit into spaces you were never meant to occupy. Stop shrinking to make insecure people comfortable. Stop performing to prove your worth keeping. Most importantly, you stop letting broken people write the story of your worth. Whose limitations are you personalizing? Because this is about them. Your worth is about God. And once you get those two things straight, everything is going to change for you. That's it. That's me. 4 a.m. this morning. Another disappointment. And I'm tired. Not just physically tired, like I'm soul tired. Just tired of everything. Tired of everyone. Tired of everything. Tired of being surprised by the same behavior. Tired of crying the same tears. And I didn't even cry. Like, I'm just fucking tired. Tired of having the same conversations with God about the same people in the same situation. And something broke in me today. Like, not my heart, because I feel like I don't think that's ever been whole. But what broke, I think, is my resistance to the truth. And it's just this morning, that clarity of like, God, I see it. I see who they really are. And I don't have to pretend anymore. Like that, you guys, I've literally had a headache for 4 days. 4 days. I could breathe today. Went, hit the treadmill. I've been on it twice today. Like, just feel so good and so relieved. Like, I exhaled for the first time in like years. So I'm going to tell you something that nobody has told you. The truth doesn't just set you free. It brings you relief. It's relief because we think acceptance is going to feel like defeat, like we're giving up, settling, or being negative. We think seeing people clearly is going to make us bitter or jaded or cold. That's not what happens at all. What actually happens is you stop fighting reality. Fighting reality is exhausting. I've been living in stress mode for so fucking long, trying to figure out like, how do I stop this cortisol release? How do I stop this constant up at night, just worrying, thinking, all of these things. Every time you're disappointed, you're saying this shouldn't be happening. Like, you're in resistance. And I felt that. I've been in resistance for so long. Like, you're in denial. You're using emotional energy, trying to make reality be something other than what it is. While I'm out here saying like, you can't be anything but yourself because it's so exhausting. That's because, yeah, I am 100% myself, but then I'm trying to make everybody else someone that they're not. That kind of backfired on me. So proud of the fact that, you know, I'm too tired to be someone I'm not. I don't have the energy. Of course I don't, because I've been creating fantasies in my head for 45 years. You're like someone standing in the rain saying, it shouldn't be raining. I didn't want it to rain. Why is it raining? But like, you're standing out there just getting soaked and you're tired and the rain just keeps doing what it does. It keeps fucking raining. And the moment you accept, okay, it's raining, you can just grab an umbrella or you can go inside. Like, you can make a decision based on what is instead of being mad about what isn't. This is so easy to do for myself. But that discernment now to know that I have to start doing that for everybody in my life Well, the truth does set you free, but the relief is there. When you stop being disappointed, like you're going to move different, you're going to think different, you're going to choose different. That's where relief lives. You stop wasting energy on false hope. False hope is draining. Hoping someone's going to change when they've shown you for years that they won't. It's hoping that this time will be different when the pattern says it never is. It's hoping they'll finally see you, choose you, value you when they've consistently shown you that they can't or they won't. False hope keeps you in a constant state of waiting, waiting for an apology, waiting for a change, waiting for eye contact, waiting for to be noticed, to be seen, waiting for them to become who you need them to be, who you thought you potentially could potentially see becoming exactly who you've dreamed of, right? And waiting is exhausting because you can't fully move forward while you're looking backwards. You can't. But when you can see clearly, the waiting stops. You're not waiting for anything anymore. You're not hoping that this emotionally unavailable parent will suddenly become warm. You know that they won't. And in that knowing, you stop waiting. You stop checking your phone, hoping they called. You stop analyzing every interaction, hoping it means something different. You stop performing, hoping this will be the thing that unlocks the love. You just stop. I hit a fucking wall today and I stopped, and it feels like relief. It feels like relief. I can't be shocked and hurt by predictable behavior anymore. And yeah, I mean, I would get devastated. Like little shit devastated me. Devastated me every time people acted exactly like themselves. Everybody. This is what's really happening. I keep expecting different, and they keep being consistent. So every time they showed up as themselves, I experienced it as betrayal. They are just being who they've always been. Now the blinders are off. When you choose to start seeing clearly, you stop being shocked. When you stop being shocked, you can't be hurt in that same way ever again. Your friend's a flake. Yeah, that tracks. That's who she is. No shock, no devastation, just information. Your family member's critical. Yep, there it is again. No personal ways. No, it's not personal. No spiral. No, just clarity. You're not numb, you're not cold, you're just not surprised anymore. And not being surprised by predictable behavior is such a relief. It's so stupid, you guys. We're not emotionally whiplashed every time someone acts like themselves. You see what we've been doing. So now you can stop trying to control outcomes you were never meant to control. And this is so big. So much of my exhaustion has come from trying to manage other people's shit, other people's perspectives, other people's choices, other people's capacities. Making myself available just in case there was a demand for that so people didn't spiral and freak out. What the fuck? We're out here trying to love people into wholeness and pray them into maturity and perform our way into being valued, and it's literally killing us. Literally. Like, I feel that wall just coming down. I've just been in this tug of war, and that takes a toll on your body physically. I feel that. Guess what, bitch? Their journey is no longer your job. Your mom's healing, that's between her and God. Your friend's emotional intelligence, that's her work to do. Your husband's issues, that's his shit to figure out. You can love them, you can pray for them, you can set boundaries for them, but you cannot fix them. You cannot force them, and you cannot sacrifice yourself on the altar for their potential. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have survived with all of the above, not having any of that. I've survived the worst of the worst. And I'm still okay. And even whatever comes, like you're still going to be okay. Yeah, I've been carrying burdens that God never asked you to carry. You're trying to do his job. And when you finally see it clear to put those burdens down, the relief is immediate. Today, I woke up not living in the gap between expectation and reality. There is no gap between who I need someone to be and who they are. That's where my pain was. That's where my disappointment, my resentment, my bitterness, that's where the heartbreak set up camp. Every time you interact with someone through the lens of who you wish they were instead of who they are, you're standing in that gap, and that gap is miserable. Close it. The gap is closed. Not because they changed, but because your expectations are now aligned with reality. You can never be mad at someone for not being someone they never claimed to be. So you can no longer be hurt by their limitations because you've accepted them as a part of who they are right now. And that is alignment. The resistance is over. So you can have that relief. I got to have that deep exhale for the first time in months, relief. Every interaction, with so many people in my life has been painful because I kept showing up hoping for something different, hoping someone would ask about my life, or hoping that someone would be proud, or hoping that someone would see me. And every time they didn't, I would be devastated, analyzing conversations, wondering what I did wrong. And I am that hyper independent overthinker with this very intelligently confusing brain. I just have this beautiful neurodivergent thing going. And so, yeah, replaying these things over and over, every scenario, all the things, what should I do different? It was exhausting. But I see it today and I accept it. All of them, for everybody. This is who they are. This is their capacity. Whether it's your kids, your parents, your spouse, in-laws, friends, acquaintances, whatever it is. So the next time I talk to someone and they don't ask about something in my life, I'm not going to be hurt. I'm now prepared. When someone is not emotionally present for me, I'm not going to be disappointed. When I am not being seen by people that I want to see me, I'm not going to be disappointed when I'm not. I'm not going to leave conversations feeling empty anymore because I'm not going to these conversations expecting them to fill me. Adjust your expectation to match their reality. That relief is profound. Am I praying this isn't going to take practice? Yes, I'm praying that this awareness, I just get it today because there's so much clarity. So much clarity. Like, I'm not even angry. I'm not even bitter. I'm not even hurt. I'm just free. Free from the cycle of hope and disappointment, free from the weight of unmet expectations, free from the exhaustion of trying to get water from under a rock. And bitch, I'm not giving up. I'm just waking up. And I know someone's probably like, but isn't this just being negative? Isn't this just giving up on people? No, it's wisdom. Wisdom isn't pretending things are different than they are. Wisdom is seeing clearly so you can move accordingly. I am not giving up on people. I'm giving up on the fantasy of who they could be and dealing with the reality of who they are. That is not negative. That is actually 100% healthy. Healthy. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Insight, clarity, seeing things as they actually are. That's not pessimism. That's discernment. Discernment protects your peace. I get to reallocate my energy. All the energy I was spending being disappointed, trying to wait for something different, I get all that back. I get to invest that in people who actually have capacity, in relationships that are reciprocal, in myself, in my healing, in my purpose, in my babies, in my relationship with Christ. When you see clearly, you can decide clearly. You're not making decisions based on potential or fantasy. You're making decision based on patterns and truth. That's it, based on patterns or truth. What is the pattern that you've beat yourself up for? I mean, resentment just comes from unmet expectations, but when your expectations align with reality, resentment has nowhere to grow. You know that, right? Like, you're not even mad at them anymore. You're not mad at this person because you're not expecting shit from them. Like, you're not even bitter because you're not disappointed. You're just clear. There's no place for resentment to breed when you're clear. You get your peace back. And peace is not found in getting people to change. Peace is found in accepting what is. We know this. Peace is found in accepting what is and moving accordingly. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. The relief is on the other side of acceptance. Who have you been exhausting yourself being disappointed by? Who have you been hoping will change, show up, and see you differently? Like, what would it feel like to stop fighting reality and just see? Free to love without being destroyed. Free to engage without being depleted. Stop being disappointed and start seeing clearly. I want you to experience this exhale. And I've talked about accepting people as they are and seeing reality clearly. People have come at me sideways saying, like, you're just telling people to settle, to accept less. I've had the conversation with myself. Am I accepting less? Am I settling? Am I lowering my standards? That's not what this is. Accepting reality isn't settling. Accepting reality is seeing clearly so you can choose wisely. There is a huge difference between tolerating dysfunction because you think that's all you deserve and recognizing dysfunction so you can decide what to do about it. One is resignation, the other is empowerment. So I'll try to explain the difference. Like, accepting reality isn't settling, because settling says, this is all I could get, so I'll take it. Okay, this is it. Accepting reality says, this is who you are, and now I get to decide if that works for me. Do you see the difference? Like, settling is about your worth. Like, this is as good as I can get. Nobody should ever be in a situation where they're saying, this is all I could get, I'll take it. And if someone in your life is saying, I'm all you can get, you should take it, that is a red fucking flag. Run, bitch. Reality's saying this is who you are, and now I get to decide if that works for me. Accepting reality is about their capacity. Settling keeps you stuck. Accepting reality gives you that freedom of choice. When you finally accept that certain people in your life are emotionally unavailable or critical or inconsistent, I'm not saying I guess I don't deserve better. Every time I want to call my mom and I can't, I just grieve that. I grieve that because I see who she really is. I've seen that. And now I get to choose what I'm able to share with her and not share with her. It's not settling. It's wisdom. Settling is staying in a relationship. Any relationships, friendships, partnerships, relationships that drain you, and calling it loyalty. That's settling. Settling is accepting mistreatment and calling it grace. Settling is lowering your standards to match someone's poor behavior and calling it unconditional love. Settling is making yourself smaller so someone else can stay comfortable and calling it humility. Settling is tolerating disrespect and inconsistency, emotional unavailability because you've convinced yourself that this is what you deserve or that leaving would make you a bad person. That's settling, and that's not what I'm talking about. Accepting reality, that's what this looks like. I can see you clearly now. I see your limitations, your patterns, your capacity. And based on what I see, I'm going to make an informed decision about what kind of relationship we have moving forward. Accepting reality is looking at your emotionally unavailable parent and saying, you can't give me what I need, and that's clear. So I'm not going to keep showing up expecting depth from you. There are so many people in your life that you just have to know you cannot expect depth from them. Manage and engage with them at a level that they can operate at. And then get your emotional needs met elsewhere. Accepting reality is looking at, you know, your inconsistent friend and saying, you've shown me you can't be reliable. I'm not going to plan shit around you. We could still be cool, but I know what this is now. Accepting reality is looking at your non-committed spouse and saying, you know, you're not ready for what I need, and I'll have to accept that. I accept where you are right now, and based on that, you make your decisions. Accept them for who they are. Are these people you're willing to continue with? It's not settling. You choose yourself. And we've been taught that accepting people means tolerating whatever they give us. We've been taught that if you really love someone, you know, you stay no matter what. We've been taught that walking away makes you a quitter, setting boundaries makes you selfish, and protecting your peace makes you unforgiven. We're not obligated to be a part of our family's lives. We're not obligated. You don't owe anybody anything.
Jesus loved people and had boundaries. He served people and he protected his energy. He had compassion for people and he walked away when they weren't ready to receive what he had to offer. Shake off the dust. I mean, Jesus literally told his disciples, if they're not receiving you, leave. Don't stay trying to convince people. Don't exhaust yourself trying to make them see you. Don't settle for being rejected and call it fucking ministry. See the person clearly, offer what you have, and if they can't receive it, move on. That's accepting reality. That's making an informed choice. That's not settling. That's stewardship of your energy. It's exhausting to stay frustrated with people. And when you confront them, of course, they're going to apologize and then you forgive them. And then you just keep thinking, like, if I communicate better, if I love harder, if I'm patient enough, this person will change. But they don't. And the issue is that they don't know how their behavior has affected you. It's clearly communicated. People know. They know exactly what they're doing to you. They know what you've asked for. They know what they've dropped the ball on. They know. Some people just don't have the capacity to be different. Find the reality. Either accept them for who they are right now. They're not bad people, right? They're just not people that can love us where we are. It's an informed choice. I don't have to cut a lot of people off. I haven't. I just adjust the access. I adjust the access. Honor your needs while still having compassion for other people's limitations. Make this about you. Energy is the most valuable thing you have. We've exhausted it on this stuff. And we talk about time like it's the most precious resource. Don't waste my time. But honestly, energy, I think, is more valuable than time. You can be in someone's presence, giving them time, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually checked out. Or you can spend 5 minutes with someone and leave drained because the energy exchange was toxic. How many times have you just hung out with someone and you're just on your phone, you're not engaged, you don't give a shit if they're in the room, and then later on, you're upset and frustrated because you're not getting your needs met? Protect your energy. It's a life force. It's what I use to create. It's what I use to love. It's what I use to serve and to build and to heal and to grow. And I can see very clearly now, everybody I engage with is either depositing into this or they're taking from it. There's really no in between. Not everyone deserves access to your energy. Audit your relationships. Get honest about who's in your life and what the energy exchange looks like. Not who they could be, not who they used to be, but who they are right now. After spending time with someone, do you feel energized or drained? Does the relationship feel one-sided? Do you feel seen, valued, appreciated, or do you feel taken for granted? Is this person in your life contributing to your growth, or are they keeping you stuck? Do you feel safe to be yourself, or do you feel like you have to perform? And be honest. It's not about judging anybody. It's about assessing the reality of where you are. Accept it without making it mean something to you. They're not draining because you're too sensitive. They're draining because they're operating from an empty space. And people aren't critical in your life because you're doing everything wrong. They're critical because that's their posture towards life. People aren't unavailable because you're not worth being available for. Bitch, you are a prize. You are worthy of copious amounts of attention and interactions, okay? People that are unavailable in your life are that way because they don't have the capacity. You're not the priority, and that's not on you. Accept the reality and release the shame. Believe them when they make it clear that you are not important, okay? Believe them. And then decide what kind of access they get based on their capacity, because it's not about you. And that's where the power is. It's not about cutting everybody off. You don't make dramatic exits. You just adjust their access based on what they can actually handle. Everyone doesn't get the same access just because they're family, or because you've known them for years, or because they used to be different. Like, people earn their place in your life based on how they show up, not based on who they are to you on paper. And sometimes you need to have conversations, but sometimes you just adjust quietly. If you've had the conversations and it's been exhausting, then do the ninja move. This is silent. Make an informed choice on, based on reality. Adjust quietly. I don't have to make an announcement that I love you, but I can't be a therapist anymore. I need our friendship to feel balanced. I care about you, but I need space because this dynamic isn't healthy. I'm not available for last minute plans anymore. If you're, if you want to do something, I need notice and commitment. This isn't being mean, it's just being clear. And clarity is kindness for both of you. And when you stop wasting so much energy on people who can't or won't receive it, I free up so much space for God to bring in the energy that can. Stop pouring into the leaky ass buckets. Your energy, your love, your time, your wisdom, those are pearls. And not everyone has the capacity to value them. So stop casting your pearls before people who trample them and then act like you're the problem for feeling hurt about it. I know I don't even have to find my people. The ones that see me, the ones that value me, the ones that protect me, that celebrate me, that reciprocate with me, God will bring them. Once you make this choice, once you see clearly what you've been doing to yourself, once you see how you've been putting this massive weight on your shoulders all by yourself that no one has done anything to you, you're free. And the doors open up for all of your needs to be met, every single one. Resentment comes from giving to people who can't give back and expecting them to. But like, accept that limitation. And when you adjust, resentment dissolves. You're not mad because you're not expecting them to be different. Peace is created. Those choices that you make that honor your well-being, it's created there. Your standards automatically raise, and you're going to start attracting people who can meet it. When you stop tolerating bullshit treatment and raise your standards, people will find you. And you stop settling for crumbs because you're no longer hungry for validation. You're full, and you're only opening the door for people who add to that fullness. And when you start choosing yourself, you give so many people permission to do the same. Like, your courage to shut down shit that doesn't serve you will always inspire someone else to do the same. You're not giving up on people. You're giving up on the fantasy and dealing with facts. We're going to stop letting people drain us in the name of love. We're going to accept people for who they are. We're going to make informed choices about the role they play in our lives. It's not settling. You're taking responsibility for the life God gave you to steward. I want you to choose wisely. Choose yourself. Watch how your whole life shifts when you stop giving your energy to people who can't value it. Start investing in where it actually grows. There's a reason that you've been so stuck for so long, and it's all your fault. It's all your fault. I've said this forever. It's not even about waiting for a hero anymore. It's just, can I stop being my own worst enemy? Once upon a time, bitches, can I please stop stabbing myself in the chest? And I do this, you guys. I mourn people who are still alive. I do it so much. And it's okay. It's normal. It's healthy. Literally went through a really rough week in my feelings about it, and frustrated and hurt because people couldn't show up for me the way I needed it. And I just kept saying, like, I just feel like I'm not loving people the way you love them. I'm a bad person. All of these things. And the answer was right there. I didn't give up on anybody. I'm giving up on who I needed them to be, because those people never existed. Most of the time, I'm not even grieving the loss of a real person. It's the idea of who I wanted them to be. It's that fantasy, mourning the death of the version I created in my head that was supposed to save me, see me, celebrate me, show up for me, the version that would finally make me feel whole. And that's where the massive difference comes in. I'm not giving up on anyone, babe. I am not giving up on anyone. I'm just giving up on the bullshit version I've invented in my head. No one's writing off anyone completely. I just know that some people have no value, potential, or capacity for growth. So it's acceptance, letting go of who I needed them to be. So you can actually see and love the person that they are. You're releasing expectations, your projections, fantasies. You engage with reality. You can't truly love someone you refuse to see. And if you're still in this fantasy version of a relationship, you're not in a relationship with them. You're in a relationship with your own imagination. And that's exhausting. Exhausting. You filled the gaps. Grieve. I've struggled with rejection forever. And the whole time it's been me. Worried that people would feel like I've rejected them. And it's not setting these boundaries is a whole different level of respect. And Jesus did this all the time. He loved people exactly as they were. He didn't create fantasy versions of the disciples when they get mad, when they acted human. Like when Peter denied him, Jesus wasn't shocked. He knew. He knew Peter's capacity. He told Peter it was going to happen. But did he give up on Peter? No, he saw him clearly. He loved him anyway, and he still used him in a really big way. That's the model. See people clearly. Love them as they are. Adjust your expectations to match their reality. You're hurting yourself if you're trying to cut people off completely without, you know, compassion or explanation. Like you're giving up on people and that resentment builds. It's just a fantasy. You understand? We're just giving up on this. We're accepting their limitations without personalizing them, adjusting expectations to match their capacity. When you're relating to the fantasy, your love is conditional, really. It's based on them becoming who you need them to be. I'll be close to you when you become more emotionally available. I'll trust you when you become more consistent. I'll open up when you become safer. But when you give up the fantasy and accept reality, your love becomes free. You're not trying to change anyone. You're not waiting for them to transform. You're just loving them as they are, flaws and all, limitations and all. And that doesn't mean unlimited access. That doesn't mean no boundaries. But it means your love isn't contingent on them being different either. And when you're so hyped up on the fantasy, you can't appreciate reality. You forget. You're so focused on what this person isn't that you miss what they are. You miss what they are. And then you stop feeling crazy. So much confusion. So much confusion comes from expecting the fantasy and getting reality. You gaslight your own experience because what you're not seeing is doesn't match what you're expecting. But releasing that fantasy, you get some clarity and you're going to make better decisions about relationships. We've covered a lot. I've talked a lot about the fantasies create, the disappointment in cycles that we stay in. But really the relief comes when we see people clearly. You know, you have to stop expecting people to be you. I guess I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. You have got to stop expecting people to be you. You know why you keep getting your feelings hurt? It's not because you're terrible. It's not because everyone's out to get you. It's because you keep showing up as you, like with your heart, your loyalty, your consistency, your depth, your intentionality. And then you're shocked and hurt and devastated when people don't show up the same way. You check on people, so you expect to be checked on. You show up when you say you will. You expect people to keep their word. You celebrate wins, so you expect to be celebrated. You're emotionally available and you love hard, so you expect others to be emotionally available and you expect to be loved hard. I am insanely, obsessively loving, and you expect that. Why wouldn't you? So when people don't reciprocate that, it's hurtful. It was confusing. What's wrong with me? Why don't they care? Why am I always the one giving? Not everyone operates like you. Not everyone's going to love like you. Not everyone's going to think like you. And expecting them to has been setting you up for heartbreak over and over and over. You're using yourself as a standard. You're projecting your capacity, your character, your values onto other people, and then disappointed when they don't meet your standard. They aren't you. They don't have your heart. They didn't have your scrappy fucking life that you've been fighting for your whole forever. They don't have your trauma. They don't have your healing. They don't have your revelation. They don't have your relationship with God. They don't have your work ethic. They don't have your emotional intelligence. So why are we measuring them by our ruler and then getting hurt when they come up short? You're expecting people to operate at your level. It's unfair for them and it's exhausting for you. So you've been hurting your own feelings by expecting people to be what only you could be for yourself. You've been waiting for someone to show up for you the way you show up for people. But what if you're the one who's supposed to show up for you? Really? And you've been waiting for someone to love you well. But what if you're the one who's supposed to love you well? You've been waiting for validation, affirmation, consistent loyalty, celebration from other people. But what if God gave you to yourself? And I feel like at the end of the day, that's it. That clarity came through very strong for me. And he's probably frustrated. He's been showing me this answer my whole life. B, I made you for you. Everything you're pouring out into other people, trying to zhuzh things up and perform for relationships and validation and all these things, turn it around and just give it to yourself. Pause. Pause on what you're pouring into other people and just love you. He's got me. That clarity. Talk about a detox. Talk about a detox. What if God gave you to yourself so you could give yourself what you've been begging everyone else to provide? Stop outsourcing your worth and your peace and your wholeness to people who were never designed to carry that weight. You need to affirm yourself. You need to celebrate yourself. You don't need a partner to make you feel loved. Love yourself. Stop waiting for people to see you. Listen, bitch, I do, though. I do see you. Okay. I see you. I know this is hard, but we have to do this for ourselves. Stop waiting for people to choose you, to value you. You need to see you. You choose you and you value you. And what happens when you get so secure in yourself is that other people's limitations stop feeling like verdicts about your worth. When you know you're valuable, someone not seeing your value doesn't shake you. When you know that you're worth celebrating, someone not celebrating doesn't devastate you. When you know you're enough, when you know you're the prize, someone treating you like shit on the bottom of their shoe does not define you. Stop looking horizontally for what only comes vertically. Your worth does not come from people, it comes from God. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That verse doesn't say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made when people treat me well. No, it is you're fearfully and wonderfully made, period. So stop letting people who don't even know their own worth determine yours. Get your identity from the one who created you, not from the people who barely manage themselves. Become for yourself what you've waited for others to be. You want someone to check on you, check on yourself. How are you doing? What do you need? When is the last time you asked yourself the deep questions? You want someone to be proud of? Be proud of yourself. Look at what you've overcome. Look at what you've built. Look at how far you've come. Celebrate you. You want someone to be consistent in your life? Be consistent with yourself. Keep the promises you made to yourself. Show up for yourself. Be the reliable one in your own life. We're not convincing people anymore to match our energy just to be the energy. Be the fucking loyal one. Be the consistent one. Be the loving one. Not because you're trying to get it back, because that's who the fuck you are. We're not doing some petty bullshit here. We're going to still be who we are and let people be who they are. And everything else is in God's hands. Let people show you who they are. When they do, I believe them and adjust accordingly. Protect your peace. Stop hurting your own feelings. Philippians 4:7 talks about the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That peace isn't something you find in other people. It is something you guard from other people. So please stop letting people who don't have peace disturb yours. Stop letting people who don't have clarity confuse yours. Stop letting people who don't have wholeness fracture yours. Your peace is yours to protect, and protecting it is not selfish. This is literally stewardship. You cannot pour from an empty cup. You can't give people what you don't have for yourself. If you are empty, insecure, desperate for validation, you're going to expect people to fill you, and they can't. They won't. And even if they try, it's never going to be enough because the void is inside of you. But when you're full, when you're secure, when you know who you are and whose you are, you're not looking for people to complete you. You're looking for people to complement you. There is a difference between I need you to make my life whole and I'm already whole and you add to my life. One is desperation, the other is abundance. This is where the solid ground comes in your relationships, is that I don't need anyone to make me whole. It is a choice. It is a choice. I want you in my life. And when you get secure, when you stop expecting people to be you, then you stop being hurt by them not being you. When you stop waiting for people to show up the way you show up, you stop being disappointed when they don't. Stop outsourcing your peace and your worth and your wholeness to other people. You get it back. You reclaim your power. You step into your authority. You become unshakable. And from that place, you can love people without needing them. You can engage without being desperate. You can give without being depleted. That's freedom. That is what it looks like to be secure in yourself. So stop hurting your own feelings. They are not like you. They are not going to operate like you. They're not going to love like you. They're not going to show up like you. They're not you, and that's okay. You be you, and you show up as that loyal, consistent, loving, intentional person that you are, not because you're trying to get it back. A sentence I say for myself. Not because we're trying to get that back, but because that's the standard that we've set. That is our core ethics and values. It is upon the principles which we move because we are chosen and we are called and we're a child. We're the children of the King. When people can't match that, don't take it personal. Just see it clearly. Keep being you. And the world needs more people like you, people who show up, people who keep their word, people who love with everything they are. Don't let other people's inability to reciprocate stop you from being who God called you to be. Be secure in yourself, be what you need, and watch how your life transforms. When you stop waiting for people to fill you and you start filling yourself from the well that never runs dry, the love, the approval, the affirmation of God Himself. You are not too much. You're just doing too much. You're not expecting too much from yourself. You were just expecting it from the wrong people. So this is amazing. You get to take your power back. You get secure and you become the person that you've been waiting for. That's the word. That's the assignment. Now do it. And God, I just want to thank you for every person that's listening right now. I thank you that you're opening their eyes to see clearly and not with bitterness, but with wisdom. Help them release the fantasies that they've been holding on to. Help them grieve what needs to be grieved. And then, God, help them step into the fullness of who they are. Remind them that their worth isn't up for debate. Remind them that they don't need permission to protect their peace. God, remind them that they were never supposed to be everyone's savior. That is your job. Give them the courage to be secure in themselves. Give them the strength to stop expecting people to be them and give them the wisdom to see people clearly so they can love freely without losing who they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, bitch, go be great, and I will catch you on the next episode. I love you guys.